Pastor Lynette said to tell you hi, and she missed you. She'll be back soon. She's doing well. Just in some, doing some rehab on that knee. And this, that's not the problem that caused it. She had a, she broke, y'all might remember, she about 8 or 9 years ago, she broke her ankle. And so when they operated on her knee and everything, for some reason or another, it caused some cellulitis or whatever you call it down there in that ankle. And that's what's dealing, what she's dealing with now. So we just keep believing with us. It's getting better, but believe us with us that it'll completely be gone. Okay? It's sad that she couldn't be here, but she said for me to tell you that she loved you and that she missed being here and seeing her church family. All right? You know, we live in a world that we face all kinds of situations. And sometimes it seems like we're in situations we don't know how to get through or how we're going to make it. But you know, just encouragement can make a difference. You know, the devil tries to tell people, well, you're the only one that's ever gone through this thing. Or he tries to say, well, you must have done something wrong or you wouldn't be in this mess. But you know, when we boil it all down and begin to look at it, encouragement is a basic need of all of us. You know, one man, George Mason Adams, said, encouragement is oxygen to the soul. You know, as a kid growing up with my dad, Kenneth E. Hagin, our family faced a lot of opportunities for discouragement and disappointments and people talking about us in all kinds of ways. And, you know, but Dad always taught us to just keep encouraging ourselves in the Lord. If nobody else encourages you, encourage yourself in the Lord. And sometimes I would say, I was 9 or 10 years old, I said, well, Dad, what are we going to do now? He said, son, we're just going to continue to act like the Bible so. And, or he might say, this is just another opportunity to prove the Word of God works. You know, when we face disappointment and difficulty, everybody does not react the same. Sometimes people get angry and they just lash out. And some people get depressed and give up. Others get so bitter that you don't even want to be around them. But there are ways to be encouraged. And you know, it's what you choose is what you get. You can choose to react in all the ways that I just named or some other ways. But how you react to the situations that you find yourself in will determine the outcome. You know. Now, let's look in the Bible at people that were in situations that caused them great disappointment. And if you want a title for this, it's called Encouragement Makes the Difference. Encouragement makes a difference. In 1 Samuel 30, many of you have read this scripture. We're starting with the first verse. Excuse me just a minute. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived, they, back at their hometown of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and the Ziklag. And they crushed Ziklag, burned it to the ground. They carried off the women and the children and everyone else without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those. David was now in great danger because all of his men who were very bitter after losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in his Lord God. It says, David found strength. Now, the old King James says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, here was a situation where trouble was there, and it looked like David had every opportunity to throw the towel in and say, okay, let's just forget it. Now, if y'all don't know what that means, in boxing, if the corner throws the towel, the white towel into the ring, that means it's over, stop. Now, at this time in David's life, he was running for his life from King Saul. Actually, he had taken his mighty men, and they had went to live in exile with the Philistines, who was an enemy to Israel. In fact, as we look at this and we get the background of this, actually David had taken his men to go fight with the Philistines against Saul, but the Philistines said, no, you go home because you might get in the midst of the battle and then all of you guys would turn on us. And so they sent him home. That's just what happened. Now, David probably at this time was about 30 years old. And it's saying when they got back, they found what we just read about. Now, David was greatly distressed over this, but in this situation, it was even worse because his faithful followers had gotten so angry at him that they were talking of stoning him. Now, that's a pretty bad situation. He could have started questioning God and said, well, what in the world's going on? You anointed me king, and I can't even go be king. I'm running from my life. And then he could have said, well, I don't know whether this is ever going to happen or not. I don't know whether that was really God or not. But he did something that we all need to learn to do when we find ourselves in a distressing situation. And that is, the NLT says he found strength in his Lord God. The old King James says he encouraged himself in the Lord. So what can we learn from this? We must learn that we have to encourage ourselves. Don't wait for somebody else to give you a word. I don't know how many people, it's not as popular now, but used to. I mean, when I was traveling on the road with Dad there in 72 through 74, people would come up all the time and say, I'm at the book table, and me and Lynette, when I was on the road with Dad as crusade manager then, it was just me and Lynette and Craig. He was 3 years old, and he couldn't read, but he could look at the pictures on the book covers, and he would stack the books up. And at that time, we're going back in 1972, those little books were 50 cents a piece. Anybody remember when they were 50, those little books were 50 cents? We got a few people. It didn't matter if you handed him a dollar or a $20 bill, he'd give you that back two quarters. And I saw it, I said, well, wait a minute here. We got to give you some. They said, no, that's so cute. Just keep the change. I said, praise the Lord. But But David here found himself in a place where it was nobody but him and God. Everybody was against him. His own people were against him. And nobody was standing with him. Everything that he had of any value, his family, his belongings, everything was gone. And it says that he strengthens himself, or he found strength in the Lord. Now look at Psalms 119, 28. David said, I weep with sorrow, encourage me by your word. In place of despair and disappointment, David turned to the promises of God. He found that God is always there. He never leaves us or forsakes us. David also wrote other psalms that he wrote. Now, he didn't write all the psalms, but he wrote quite a few of them. And in other places, you can see he encouraged himself. In Psalms 18:32, God arms me with strength and he makes my way perfect. Psalms 21:13, rise up, O Lord, in all of your power. With music and singing, we celebrate your mighty acts. Psalm 28:8, the Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress for his anointed king. Now, this is David talking about himself. The Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress. You know, God is your source. God is your fortress. Then look at Psalm 29:11. I like this. The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace. Now, when you look to God, get your eyes off of all of the situation, all of the problems, all of the things that are facing you, and begin to look into the Word and strengthen yourself. See, that's how you encourage yourself in the Lord, is going to the Word. It will give you something to stand on. You know, now let's look at this. Let's jump several thousand years. And we find the Apostle Paul. And if you ever read in the Word, you'll find out that Paul encountered a lot of difficulties. Hello? But you know, he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He wrote that when he's in prison. But look at what he says, and I like what he says here in Romans 8:31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as this? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? You know, people come and say, well, so-and-so said so-and-so about, said this about me, and they just don't like me. I had a guy come up one time and he said, you know, people are just talking about me and I just don't know what to do. I said, you don't have any problem at all. He said, what are you talking about? I said, just go on the internet and read what they're saying about me and the Hagans. I said, you got to learn not to let any of that bother you, because half of it ain't even true anyway. They don't even know what they're talking about. You know, it's really funny how, you know, you can preach a sermon and you're dealing with one subject. And then you preach another sermon, you're dealing with another subject. They take bits and pieces from both of those and put them together and make you say something you're not. You know, it's sort of like looking at a mountain. You look at a mountain from the west side, it looks like this. But you look at it from the north side and it looks a whole lot different. But you can't put them together. So, you know, people say stuff all the time. It's been recently, somebody said, don't it bother you, all of that? I said, I don't care about it. Don't bother me. I said, I'm doing what God told me to do. I'm going to continue to do what God said to do. And I'm going to rejoice every day and praise God, for this is the day He's made. And He's given me blessing after blessing. Hello. Yeah, but what about that? I don't care about what abounds. What I care about is what the Bible says. You see, what happens is we have a part to play, and God has a part. When we do our part, then He'll do His. He can't do His until we do our part. Hello. Now look at Romans 8, 37, 39. You know all these scriptures. I'm just bringing them in. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. Now, I like the way NLT says that. It says, neither death nor life nor demons. But I like this part, neither fears of today nor worries about tomorrow. Did you know that's where people are right now? 90% of the people are right, they're living right there. They're worrying about what's going to happen today, what's happening right now, in fear of their life. And then they're upset and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what? I told a guy just recently, I said, the sun's going to come up tomorrow just like it did today. And I said, life is going to go on. I said, I'm not concerned about what's going to happen. What I'm concerned about is living my life in line with the Word of God, because I know if I'm living in line with the Word of God, that I'm going to be taken care of. It tells me that in the Word of God. That's what the Word of God tells me. They said, well, that's sort of simplistic. I said, well, I may be simple, but I'm going to tell you what. I know what God can do, and I know what it takes to stay in the position so God can and will bless you, and that's doing what He said in the Word. That's getting up every morning and encouraging yourself in the Word. Hello. You know, every day on our stuff we use here in the ministry, what you call Outlook, is that what you call that? Every day they put up a deal from one of the faith foods to encourage all of us. Actually, there's books out there that have them in it every day. There's a verse and a little writing for every day. Anybody got any of those? You know, that's the way you encourage yourself in the Lord. Hello. Now look at this. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we need to get back to thank God for revelation. But there are too many people, my dad said this, and I guess I picked it up from him. There are too many people that are looking for new revelation, and they're not even living in the revelation they already have. Hello. You know, somebody said, well, you go there, they're just going to preach on faith again. Well, let me tell you what. You can't preach on faith too much, because the new people need to hear it, and the old people that have been hearing it need to hear it again and stir theirself up. You know, somebody said, well, you know, I like shouting and dancing. I do too, but you can't live on shouting and dancing. You got to have the Word of God put into you. You know, shouting and dancing, that, as far as I look at that, that's the dessert. That's the icing on the cake, you know, so to speak. Thank God for the times that we have of that, when there's dancing and shouting and running. Praise God for it. I'm all in favor of it. But let me tell you what, you can't live your life on that. Because if you don't have some word in you, you walk out that door, you're on a high because you've just been rejoicing in the Lord, and the enemy slaps you up beside the face, that feeling is gone just like that. And what's going to sustain you is the word of God that you have on the inside of you. That's what's going to encourage you. That's what's going to take you to. Too many people are waiting for somebody else to encourage them. Hey, if you're going to get ahead in life, if you're going to live your life, you got to learn to encourage yourself. I used to say, I learned this a long time ago living with my dad. But I used to tell myself, you can do this, Hagin. You can do this. That's encouraging yourself. Now, when I got a little older and got into the Word more, I can do this because my strength is not my own strength. My strength comes from God, and I encourage myself that direction. You know, you got to learn to encourage yourself by speaking what the Word says. Encourage yourself by remembering the times that God has come through for you in the past. Anybody had God come through for them in the past? That should encourage you to move forward in the future. Many people are afraid of the future because they don't, I don't know what's going to be out there. I tell you what's going to be out there. The word of God that's coming out of your mouth is going to be out there. As you begin to go forward, encouraging yourself in the word, you can walk across the bridge of the word of God over anything that comes your direction. Come on now. Now, you know, we encourage ourselves. That's important, to encourage yourself. But, you know, we need to encourage others. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. This is Paul writing. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, living in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. All of us need to learn to encourage people. If you see a Christian brother or sister in a difficult situation or even doing something wrong, how do you respond? Do you get upset at them and say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, blah, 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 blah? Do you criticize them? Condemn them? Do the first thing you do is grab your phone and say, oh, did you hear what, did you see and did you know and blah, 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 you know? Or are you quick to encourage them to rise up with God and overcome the situation? Carnal people criticize, find fault. Spiritual people encourage each other. Hello. You know, I read a story about a pastor that was taking a new church. He dressed up like a homeless person and went to that church. He hadn't been installed yet as pastor. He was going to be. He dressed up as a homeless person in rags and really, you know, had his beard grow out and everything. And he went to that church, and he came in and he walked in, and just as he was starting to sit down, a couple of the ushers grabbed him by the arm and said, sir, you're not welcome here. We don't allow your kind in here. And they ushered him out the door. You know, that's the way too many people are. They don't reach out to encourage anybody to help them. Hello. When I was associate pastor, I'm 27 years old. You know, by the The hippies was in the 60s. The hippies was going out. Anybody remember the 60s? They had the hippies and all of that, huh? Yeah. Late 50s, into the 60s, you had the places to go in there, and they'd supposed to be reading poetry, and then somebody said, "That's deep, man, that's deep." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me see your hand. If you're part of that era, you know what I'm talking about. But these two young men came into the door of the church, and one of them just had on a muscle shirt, and he had on tattooed on his right here, "Born to Raise Hell," and you know, and you could tell that they were rough and so forth. And some of the older men started going toward them. I stopped them. I said, "Leave them alone." "Well, we don't know whether we want that kind in here." I said, "That's the very people we want in here. Somebody that we can encourage to serve God." In fact, after the service, they came forward and for salvation. And one of them said, "This is the first time I've ever been inside the church, a church in my life." And the other one said, "Well, this is the first time I've been in church since I was 9 years old." And they were about 24 or so. They were about I was 27. They were just a little bit younger than I was. But you see, so many times, instead of helping and encouraging, we all of a sudden are rejecting. Boy, it's quiet in here now because I'm preaching really good. Proverbs 10:21 says, "The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by the lack of common sense." Hello. You know, this is actually talking between a godly person and a carnal person, whether they encourage or turn away. You know, often we sometimes feel like telling somebody off, but what we need to do is to reach out and encourage them. Okay, they took a misstep. Okay, they shouldn't have done that. But it's not going to help for you to criticize them and tell them, "Well, you better straighten up, you're going to get in trouble." That's not going to help them at all. In fact, that's going to turn them away. But if you put your arm around and say, "Hey, man, I understand. It's tough, and you made a bad decision. But listen, it's not the end. Let me help you." And start to encourage them with the word. Start to bring them back. Come on now. You know, I like this. I don't know where this come from. But some people are just one encouragement away from being able to do what's right. Some people are one encouragement away. Somebody just to pat them on the back and say, "You can make it." Come on now. Encouragement will help somebody to rise up. Criticizing them and telling them, "Well, you shouldn't have done that, and you know you did wrong." They already know it. That's not going to help them. But when you pat them on the back and encourage them, say, "Listen, you can make this. God is a turnaround specialist. Come on now." You know, my dad only got to see me in one sporting event because he traveled and preached all the time. But I happened to be going to Canyonville Bible Academy and running track, and he was preaching. Actually, he's on his way to preach at a church there in Oregon, and we had a track meet on a Saturday, and he came and he was there, and he was down on the infield, and I running the 220, and I start up here on the curb, run on the curb, you know how it comes around and finishes down here. Well, he's down there by the finish line, and I, it's the first time he'd ever seen me run, and I was I was putting it out. I was doing everything I thought that I could do. And I was out in front of everybody because I was on the inside lane and I couldn't hear anybody, but I was still going. And he leaned out over right there. I'm about 30 yards from the finish line. And I saw he leaned out and he hollered and I heard his voice. He's catching you. Well, you know what? I just thought I was running as fast as I could. I reached back and got the afterburners, and I really came across. And I was out in front anyway, but I beat him beat the field by about 7 yards. And I came off, and he patted me on the back, and he said, "Good race. Now you know how fast you can really run." And he said, "Son, what I wanted to do is encourage you to the fact that when you think you're doing all you can do more." That was what he was instilling in me as a 17-year-old junior in high school. You know, encouraging ourselves. We encourage ourselves. Let me say it this way. We can encourage ourselves by encouraging others. Sometimes when you start encouraging them, you realize, hey, I need this too. You know, one of the keys to getting through difficulties and these difficult situations is to get our eyes off of the problem and onto the Word and encourage ourselves in the Word of God. You know, Dad always said this, and many of you know this, that with him, Doug sitting back there, Doug Jones sitting back, traveled on the road with him all those years. He said, "Don't pray for God to bless you. Pray for God to make you a blessing, and you'll be blessed." So, encouraging somebody else will help you. We can look at Job 42:10. When Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. These people run about and say, "Well, I guess I'm, because, you know, everything's gone bad and they've lost just about everything, I guess I'm another Job." Well, if you're another Job, you're going to get more than you had to start with. See, they're just looking at the wrong side of it. Encouraging others by reminding them of the promises of God. Psalms 13:5-6. "But I trust your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he's good to me." See, you encourage yourself in the Lord when you sing praises unto him when you don't feel like it. Hello. Instead of saying, "Poor old me, and look what's happening to me," we start singing the praises to God. Psalms 56:3. "But when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" Then look at 2 Thessalonians 3:3. "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil ones." Then jump over to Hebrews 10:23. "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises." We need to encourage others and encourage ourselves with the fact that God can be trusted. If God helped David, and if you go and read the story, you'll find out that everything turned good. He will do it for us today. If he did it for Paul, he'll do it for us. God is faithful to perform his promises, but it's up to us to quote those promises and believe that they're going to happen in our life. It's one thing to read it. It's one thing to let it even come out of your mouth. Many people do this. But are they really believing it? Or are they just mouthing the words because that's what they've been told to do? Oh, y'all got real quiet then. Now, church is where we encourage each other. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the days of his return is drawing near. Man, that scripture is really true. Now that the return of his is drawing near. Somebody asked me the other day, said, aren't you upset over what's going on in the Middle East? I said, not in the least. What? I said, you ever read the Bible? Exactly what's going on is exactly what the Bible said. How many of you have read that? That's what in the last days, that's what it says is going to happen. Hello. I'm not going to get on to that, but I just want us to, hey, encourage yourself to saying, hey, I don't have to be afraid. You know what? In the last part, we that love God and are born again are not going to be here in the bad tribulation anyway. Somebody said, well, is it going to be, is he going to come before or in the middle? I said, I don't know. All I know is that when it gets really bad, we're out of here. It's what the Bible says. Anybody believe what the Bible, anybody read that in the Bible? That's what the Bible says. Hello. You know, I encourage myself in that. When I hear certain newscasts or hear certain things, I say, well, praise the Lord. Just one day closer to Jesus coming. Somebody said, how can you be so optimistic? Because I know what God said. I know that God always performs what he said. I've read it here, right here in the Word of God. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of many of you. Hello. And he said, I am the Lord and I change not. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. He did it now during the church age in the time of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're living in. And when the end of that 69 week of Daniel's revelation and the 70th start, we're out of here. Somebody said, I didn't know you knew all that about the end time. I know a lot about it. I just don't preach about it because ain't no use to preach about it. Ain't none of us going to be here anyway. Now, I want to preach to you to stay ready to go so you won't be here. Hello. You know, here it says, Romans 1:12 says, we get together. When we get together, I want you to encourage you in your faith, but I also want you to be encouraged by yours. See, he's saying in two things here. He said, I'm being encouraged by your faith. I want to encourage you with your faith, and then you're going to encourage me with your faith. Paul is saying, encourage others, and they will encourage us. Encouragement's a two-way street. It's both giving and receiving. Often, we don't know what the person sitting next to us is going through. They may have a smile on their face, but their heart is heavy. And you know, just a good handshake and say, hey, God is good. You're gonna make it. Or just giving somebody a smile sometimes. You don't know what everybody's going through. You don't know their situation. But you can encourage them simply by reaching out and saying, hey, God's good all the time. And you're going to be all right. Hello. You know, we need to learn to be sensitive and encourage. You see, everybody's always looking for the spectacular and wanting words and so forth. But you know what? Sometimes you just need to be sensitive in your own spirit, because we all have the spirit. We don't have to wait for somebody to have a word from the Lord. I get disgusted sometimes. Oh, I got a word. Well, I'll tell you what, I got a word too, what the Bible says. Somebody asked me one time, you got a word from the Lord? I said, yeah, what the Bible says. That's my word from the Lord for you. Oh, see, they want some prophetic word. Let me tell you something. You need to be sensitive sometimes and just shake somebody's hand and give them a smile. Sometimes that's all they need. I better go on now. I'm getting in trouble. Our kind words encourages. Our willingness to listen will encourage. Do you know somebody, some people, if you just listen, let them talk. As they talk, they and you listen, they encourage yourself. Hello. Right over there, my dad's office is still the same as it was the last day he walked out of it, 2003. I go down there sometimes and just sit down, and the desk is there, and I sit down in a chair in front of the desk and I start talking. Because see, that's what I used to do. I go down there and I start telling Dad all the problems, all the situation. And as I was talking it out, I would see the answer. Come on. That's sometimes that's what you need to do. You know, showing that we care will encourage somebody. Our help can encourage. You know, a compliment can encourage. Just, man, you're looking good today. Just a simple word. You know, let's wrap this up. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Encourage others. And especially, we and the church family should be there to encourage one another. You know, if you see somebody that you know that they've just lost a loved one or something, it doesn't hurt to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Come on now. See, you need to let people know that when everything is on the line, God is still there. When you can't count on anybody else, you can count on God. When the circumstances are all wrong, God can make it right. Hello? You know, he said, you're reading in the Word, he says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it says, you know, take you through the fire, take you through the river, all that. He's there with you. Be encouraged to know that you're not facing this alone. He is there with you. I just simply wanted to talk to you this morning and give you a little bit of encouragement and encourage yourself, encourage others. As we leave today, shake hands with people and just give them an encouraging word. Say, hey, you can make it. Hey, I believe in you. Hello, come on now. Sometimes we need to quit thinking about ourselves and start thinking about others. I better quit. Heavenly Father, thank you today. As I've tried to encourage these people to encourage themselves and to encourage others, help us all to realize that you're always there and that we can count on you every day, every minute, every hour. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand, please. Praise the Lord. You got something you want to sing, Brother Dan?
We're one in the family, one in the Lord, bound by His Spirit and washed in His blood. And together there is nothing we can overcome, 'cause we're one in the family and one in the Lord. Yes, we're one in the family, one in the Lord, bound by His Spirit and washed in His blood. And together there is nothing we can overcome, 'cause we're one in the family, one in the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, I normally don't do that, but I just felt led to sing. He had something to sing, and I thought, well, what is he going to sing? And when he started singing that, I said, oh, it fit right in, didn't it? Hello. Listen, if you're with us here this morning in this auditorium and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want to encourage you to find Him to be your Savior, and you won't leave here like you came. If you happen to be in here and you know what it is to serve God, but you have sort of taken a detour and got off path and you need to come back and rededicate, or if you're here and you're born of the Spirit, you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, according to what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to speak with tongues. We want to pray with you to receive that today. Anybody, and you need Jesus, you need to rededicate your life, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, let me see your hand. We'll pray with you today, and you won't leave here like you came. Anybody, anywhere in this room, anywhere, anybody, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm speaking to somebody that's watching online. You think it's all over because you've just gotten out of fellowship with God and lost so much. It's not all over, God's telling you. Right now, if you'll pray this prayer with us, repeat it after me and with this congregation right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that I know if I come to you, you will bring me back. You will restore me. I thank you now that I'm being restored into the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know who you are. All I know is what the Spirit of God was saying to me. But if that was you and you're watching, grab a hold of it. And we'd like to hear from you. If you'd just write to us at testimony@rhema.org and let us know that you prayed that prayer with us. Praise the Lord. Father, if there's anybody in this congregation under the sound of my voice that needs to rededicate their life or needs to accept Jesus as their Savior, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would go with them, and they can't be happy doing anything until they stop and ask you to be Lord of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, remember all the announcements. We need a lot of help for the camp meeting. I just feel in my heart that I've been praying about it. Camp meeting is going to be something else. And we need to be here. We are the host for camp meeting, so we need to get involved. So I'm going to ask you as pastor, please get involved. Some of you won't be in the ministry. Well, that's the ministry of helps. and you can get into ministry right there. Praise God. If the staff will go to the door so we can shake your hand. If you're a first-time guest, connection team, go pick up these people and take them to receive their gift. And if you're looking for a church home, you just say, welcome home. Come on, be with us.